Our gospel lesson text this morning comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll look again at verses 1 through 8 this morning, as we did last week. That's found on page 325 of the Bibles that are in your seats. I'll give you a moment to find that. Second Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, this is God's word, eternally true. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and also made cast idols for worshipping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and sacrificed his sons in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Therefore the Lord his God handed him over to the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Zichri, an Ephraimite warrior, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, as Rikam, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, second to the king. The Israelites took captive from their kinsmen 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. Here ends our reading this morning. Let us give thanks to the Lord for giving us this, his word. You have a response of thankfulness printed for you in your bulletin at the bottom left there. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are thankful that you have not left us as orphans, but you have been a father to us, and you are a father to us, in part by the way you give us instructions for our lives. We thank you for these instructions that you have here in this, your word, in 2 Chronicles 28. We thank you for it. We thank you for how it instructs us about what you are like and about how we are to be as well. Jesus, preached to us to that end, that we would see you and your gospel more clearly, that we would understand your gospel more clearly and act according to it, that we would, as the Apostle Paul said, conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel through your Spirit's work by your word here now. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. We've looked this morning already at several passages about those who are associated with the church or God's people, those who are among God's people, but who receive this condemnation from Jesus or somebody else. And we saw in Mark 6 how Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, the most religious of God's people. He called them hypocrites, and he called them people who honor God with their lips. They say the right things, but in their hearts and their souls, they were far from God. They did not care about what God had to say. And in fact, as Jesus spoke, God had shown up right before them, right in their face. And their response to God, with their cold hearts that were far from God, they rejected God himself incarnate as a human being on earth. We saw as well, Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount underlines this. He says, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will gain entrance into my kingdom of heaven." And the response from some of these folks will be, "But Lord, we've been very involved in the church.
I've taught Sunday school. I've been a part of the music program. I've done this. I've done that. I've helped with setup. I've been, as the Pharisees were, even an officer in the church. And Jesus' response to them is rattling to us. Depart from me, you evildoer. I never knew you, is Jesus' response. We've been talking about, and our Sunday nights together, the subject has come up. It seems like in about three of the last five Sunday nights we've had together, the subject of this, that we have all as a group have known people in the church, in various churches that we've been in the past, where they're in the church, they've always been in the church, they've grown up in the church, they never departed from the church, yet it seems like the lights are just not on spiritually. The house is there, the structure's there, it's in the neighborhood, but nobody's home spiritually. There's no spiritual life in that person. And that's what this passage gets at this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, as well as these passages that we've looked at here in Mark 7 and Matthew 7. And here's the point that God makes to us, first of all, this morning. And if you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do so. You don't have to do so. You can just listen. If you want to just listen, that's fine, too. But if you're a blank filler inner, here we go. Number one, God says to us by his word this morning, don't mistake being among, that's your blank, among, don't mistake being among God's people for being a person Christ has saved. There's a difference. If you've been in adult Sunday school, you know we're talking about the big box and the little box here. That is, there's a big box that you can draw on a whiteboard or a blackboard or a green board or a sheet of paper, wherever you want to draw. And that box is all the people associated with the church, or in the Old Testament, with Israel. But within that big box, there are those who have spiritual life, who are not the hypocrites Jesus speaks of. There are those who see Jesus and say, I will follow you wherever you go. And there are those who see Jesus and reject him. And that's this within this big box or rectangle. Actually, we can draw a smaller box, a square within that box. And that box represents those who have faith in Jesus, who are relying on Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and nothing else, who have the Spirit of God in them and are responding to God and seeking to walk in his ways. And so there's this danger in the church always that's been there from Old Testament times and is here today, where there are those who are in the church who are greatly advantaged because they're in the church. They get to hear God's word read and preached. They get to hear God's people pray. They get to see the sacraments, these visible demonstrations of the good news of Jesus. They get all these benefits. They get to experience a community of people who love each other, and they see what the love of Christ is like in real form when God's people get together and treat each other with grace and mercy and love. So they have great advantage to them being in this big box, but they have to be like God's people are warned here in this text, warned that just being in the garage doesn't mean you're a car, so to speak. We know that in a garage, someone can be in that garage and think, well, I'm in a garage, and what do you keep in garages? Well, cars, of course, therefore I'm a car. But you may be in the church, you may be associated with God's people, but just be like I think everybody has in their garage, an old empty coffee can of nuts and bolts. And there's a great difference. The car gets to ride out and to go see things and gets used on a daily basis. But the can of nuts, bolts, the can of nuts and bolts may be forgotten, and if it's like my garage, forever. Or maybe found 6 years later. Oh, okay. Well, I can use these. And you dump them into the new can of nuts and bolts that you thought were the sum total of all your nuts and bolts. But it's the same in the church. Every person in the church, and part of how we do this is in the Lord's Supper. Every person in the church, it's good for them to examine themselves and their own life and their own faith, because being among God's people does not necessarily mean that you are a person that Christ has saved. Now, don't mistake being among God's people as being a person that Christ has saved. And this brings us to our second point here. God says to us, secondly, related to this, examine your own faith. Examine your faith and believe. Our point one here, we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, don't we? Ahaz was a person among God's people. In fact, he was king of God's people. He was living next to the temple itself, and he was surrounded by people who believed, who were trusting in the Lord. His father had trusted in the Lord greatly, Jotham, and we read about that in 2 Chronicles 27. Jotham was faithful to the Lord and obtained for himself and his people many blessings. So Ahaz had a faithful father. He grew up in the church, so to speak, but he mistook that past blessings were a guarantee of future blessings. He thought that his father's faith would kind of cover him, too. And that he didn't have to examine his own faith and his own standing before the Lord as he ruled over Israel. And so this passage warns us as a church, it warns every church who looks at this passage, that each person should examine their own faith and believe. Now, this has two applications in terms of age group here. One is to talk about you kids. If you're in the church here and you're probably high school or younger, and especially if you're not someone who's visited with the session, the leadership of our church yet, and begun to take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, when it comes to you, this passage is a passage that tells you a couple of things. One, it tells you this, that it's really great that your parents have faith. And that's a great advantage to you. Your parents bring you here each week, and you get to hear the good news of Jesus. You get to hear that Jesus rescues, saves every person who believes. That Jesus forgives every bad thing you've ever done if you trust Him to do that for you. So be grateful. For all of us to fill in our outline here, your parents' faith is really great for you. Your parents' faith, the fact that your parents believe in God when society says belief in God is a silly thing. Your parents' faith, your parents' belief in God is a great thing for you, and you should be thankful to God for giving your parents faith. When you go home and when you leave to come to church and to get back from church every day, you'll see cars and in driveways of folks that whose parents don't believe. And those kids don't get to hear about God, what He's like, that He loves His people, that He's laid down His life for His people. He's done everything He possibly could do to save His people, and he has saved them. Nextly, it means here in your next line, in your outline, it means that you get to learn a lot about God. And we've said that already. Your blank here is God. The fact that your parents have faith means that you get to learn a lot about God. And some of us adults, this applies to us greatly too. Some of us have parents that didn't quite believe but brought us to church. And the Lord worked through them. And through even their lack of belief and them bringing us to church, we came to faith in Jesus. As adults, God used that. And so we need to be thankful to our parents and mostly to God for causing our parents to believe and for causing them to act in the way that they did. But God says to us in this passage something else. And kids, I'm still talking to you. Your parents' faith is not enough. Your parents' faith is not enough. It's a great thing that your parents believe, but it's not enough. Your parents' faith will not get you into heaven. That's what this passage is saying. Jotham, King Jotham, had great faith, but Ahaz, his son, didn't follow in the ways of his father. And he didn't have faith. And great disaster came upon King Ahaz and his people. Hundreds of thousands of people were carried off, taken away from their homes. And terrible things happened to God's people because faith was not present. Ahaz thought that his dad's faith may have been enough, but it was not enough. And here's the last line here for this kid's section here. Blessing will only keep coming to you if you yourself, that's your blank here, if you yourself believe. There needs to come a point in your life where you say, as I stand before God, as I am a person that comes to church every week with my parents, yet my own sin, the things that I do wrong, deserve punishment. And Jesus is the only solution to that. Believing in Jesus. He takes the punishment for my sins if I grab hold of Him and believe. Now, secondly, big kids, adults, this passage warns us to look at our own, here's your blank, character. And what we're talking about here, character, the things that you do, how you respond, what you are like, because sometimes, well, you sometimes in the church, somebody grows up in the church and he or she is like one of these people that we were talking about at the beginning. They've always been in the church. They've never left the church, but they never came to that place like we were talking about with all you kids here a moment ago, where we said there needs to come a time where we turn and admit that our sin deserves God's punishment and that Jesus is our only way that we can get forgiven for our sins and go to heaven. And sometimes an adult winds up in the church as an adult just because they've never gotten out of the habit of coming in. They're a can of nuts and bolts. How do we tell the difference between a can of nuts and bolts and a car? Well, it's character. Or as Jesus said here in Matthew 7, it's the fruits of a person's life. How do you know if that's a lemon tree? Well, when the season comes, that tree produces lemons. How do you know that it's a grapefruit? We moved to Florida in 1995 and there was this one tree. We were told it was a fig tree, but we didn't know what a fig tree looked like. But when that season came and that tree produced figs, we knew that indeed that tree was a fig tree. And the way Jesus says, we know that we are truly of Him, that we are believers, saved from hell, forgiven of our sins. Jesus says the way you know is by the fruit of your life. So a tree is known by its fruit. That's your second line here in the adults section. And what is entailed in this? One, we look at our response to, here's your next line, you look at your response to God's Word. One of the great indicators of whether a person is of faith or not is how he or she responds to God's Word. Here's what we mean. A, in your outline, do I, we ask ourselves the question, do I care That's your blank. Do I care what God's word says? If I am living my life in a certain way, and I come to be confronted with God's word that says that is sin, and that thing that I'm doing, or that attitude that I have towards somebody, or the things that I've said to my boss are wrong, how do I respond to that? If I respond with indifference, that should shake me up. That should say, I thought I was a car, but I'm an old coffee can full of nuts and bolts. Our character. Do I care about what God's word says? When I become convinced that God's word tells me to live my life or an aspect of my life in a way that is different than what I'm currently doing, do I repent and change? Those are your two blanks there in B. Do I repent and change when I'm doing what God's word says that what I'm doing now is wrong? Put another way, or do I honor God only with my lips? That's your next blank. Do I honor God only with my lips, but my heart is far from Him? Jesus made it clear. The prophets made it clear. 2 Chronicles 28 makes it clear. There are those who live among Israel. There are those who live among in the church, who are in the church in some way, shape, or fashion, who are associated with the church, but they honored Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. When God says, do this, they say, well, that's kind of inconvenient. Or, but I really like doing the other thing, so I'll keep doing the other thing. And a good indicator of whether the Spirit of God is in you and me is how I respond to God's Word. Do I turn from my behavior and change when I find out that my behavior is wrong and sinful and that I need to change to do things in the ways of the Lord? We read here about Ahaz that he did not walk in the ways of the Lord. He did not walk in the ways of his father, David. And as we put it last week, I'm mixing my brother's words. He used to also say, you'll get creamed or you'll get shellacked. What did I say last week? Trounced. You get trounced. That's right. My older brother in his sports talk. We see here abundant evidence in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 that if we don't walk in the ways of the Lord, even if we're among God's people, our lives will start to be wrecked, declared a disaster site, and get the yellow tape figuratively put around it. Whether it's our work, our relationships, our relationship with our mom and our dad, or our kids, or our wife, or our husband, our coworkers, our lives turn into a wreck when we don't walk in the ways of the Lord. And we look at our own character and say, am I a car? And one of the ways we can tell is at our response to God's word. So, next in your outline, if your blessings come to you, if they've come to you from someone else's account, so to speak, this passage says to you, repent unto God and believe. This text, 2 Chronicles 28, was written to a group of people originally who didn't know what they should do. They had been in exile in Babylon, and they had come back into the promised land, and they were rebuilding. And the question was, how should we live? And God lays before them, you can live like Jotham and be blessed. You can follow me. You can care about my word says and follow it. Or you can put my word to the side. And that's what Ahaz did. And we see two different results coming from chapter 27, good results, and then chapter 28, bad results. And God says to His church, examine your own faith. And if it's not there, this is a call to believe. Make no question about it, God says. If you yourself do not have faith in Jesus, shipwreck will come to you.
disaster to your life. But, and we come to number three here, God says to us, on the other hand, He says to you and to me, act in faithfulness. That's your blank there. Act in faithfulness to God's ways to obtain God's blessings. Act in faithfulness to God's ways to obtain God's blessings. In other words, as our mutual fund companies tell us, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Or here we can say past performance is no guarantee of future blessings. Your mutual fund companies tell us that. You know, we earned 28% this past year, but they're required by law to indicate that 28% is not guaranteed to you. In fact, you may lose money in this investment, says the fine print down here. And this passage says this to us. The blessings given to us by our parents' faith, or even by our own faith in the past, that is not guaranteed to us for our lifelong, because God is a loving Father who disciplines us as we don't walk in His ways. God says in Hebrews 12 that any loving father disciplines his child because he wants his child to walk in ways that are beneficial to him. And when he dies, when the father dies, he wants his child to have these ways ingrained in him so that he can have a happy life. And God is committed to us and our well-being, and so He disciplines us when we walk in ways that are not His ways. And God says to us in this passage, act in faithfulness to my ways and obtain my blessings. That is, be faithful, God says. Live not in the ways of the kings of Israel, the northern kings who were evil, nor in the ways of the nations over in these nations that were beside the Israelites, Moab and Aram and other places like that. Don't live in the ways of people who are not members of the kingdom of God. That's what we talked about last week. We've got plenty of input about how to live our lives and plenty of input about how we might obtain satisfaction and joy in our lives. Plenty of input from those who are outside the kingdom of God. But the challenge for us as believers is to say, what is God's input? The maker of my frame, my creator, my redeemer, what does He tell me is the way to live in order that I might obtain satisfaction? And He says, be faithful in the ways of, here's your last blank, be faithful in the ways of the Lord. And that's verses 1 and 2 in this passage. Ahaz serves in total. His life serves as a negative example to us. Live outside the ways of the Lord, and you're going to spend your life, if you're a believer, in the discipline of the Lord. We talked this morning in Sunday school about a statement I've said to my kids. I say this to my kids sometimes when I'm putting them down, if they're prone to talking after I put them down to bed. I say, now don't talk. Go right to bed. Don't make any noise. Go to sleep now. Because, and I said this to some of them this week, I said, because I will come in here and discipline you. But I don't want to do that. So don't make me do it. It's guaranteed I will come and discipline because I love you as a father and I want you to have enough sleep for tomorrow at school. And because of that, I discipline you. But don't make me do that. That's not, I don't want to be in that relational dynamic to you, with you. And God the Father says the same thing to us. You're my child. I sent Jesus to die for you. That's how much I love you. Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much. I'm the good shepherd who doesn't run to the side when trouble comes. I'm the good shepherd who has laid down my life, literally, on a cross, for you, my sheep. Walk in my ways so that I don't have to discipline you. I will discipline you because I care for you. But walk in my ways so that you can walk in my blessing.
And that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus walks in the ways of the Lord, and he earns for us, his people, God's blessing at final judgment. Those of us who have believed, Jesus has walked in the ways of the Lord, and he has earned for us eternal life. And that's good news. Good news is that Jesus has shown us how we might walk in his ways and obtain blessings in the day-to-day of our lives. So that God the Father, out of love, doesn't have to show up in our room and discipline us for talking after we've been put down to bed, so to speak. This message, this passage is an encouragement to us. Walk in the ways of the Lord and enjoy his blessings. Jesus walked in the ways of the Lord, and his reward was resurrection, ascension to the Father, and seating at God the Father's right hand, where he is exalted above every name. God desires to bless us. That's the good news. Let us follow in his ways. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you speak to us sometimes and by a negative example. Sometimes we just need that. We need to be told, don't do it like this. And that this is assuming that our parents' faith is enough. Or this is assuming that I've been faithful and I've done things for the Lord in the past, but now I can wander. You, Lord, tell us, no, that's not the case. You tell us, be faithful each day as Jesus, you were faithful each day on this earth. Thank you, Jesus, that you care for us so much that you lay down your life for us. Help us to see that in this care you have given us your ways to follow, your commandments to protect us from doing things that are stupid, and to help us to obtain your blessings throughout our lives. By your Spirit, help us to walk in your ways so that we would reflect Jesus, you who walked in the ways of your Father. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.